Luke chapter 10, and I want to just remind everybody, 6 o'clock is the Sunday school meeting, 7 o'clock is our annual business meeting, and so we wanted to let you know about that. Praise the Lord. Sunday morning, Sunday evening, and then the following Sunday, 2 Sundays from now, Brother and Sister Riggin from Olathe are going to be with us ministering Sunday morning and Sunday night. And let's be in prayer about that and believe the Lord for great services that weekend. Luke chapter 10 and verse 38. Amen. If you're there, say amen. Amen. All right. Luke chapter 10, verse 38. Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered. Everybody said cumbered. She was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Praise the Lord. I want to focus our attention tonight on that word cumbered. Martha was cumbered about much serving, and I want to minister tonight the dangers of living a cumbered life. The danger of living a cumbered life. Praise the Lord. God is so great, he deserves all of us. He said we got to serve him with all of our heart, all of our mind, all of our strength. Amen. With everything, we need to serve the Lord, and that's what he desires. And when we desire that, great revival and great things begin to happen. Father, I thank you tonight for the word of God. I thank you for truth tonight, and we're asking you to minister life through the word of God. Bless us and strengthen us with your word and give us direction. We pray tonight in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Why don't you give the Lord a hand clap of praise together with me? Amen. Let's thank God for his word tonight. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Oh, thank God. Thank God. God bless you. You can be seated tonight as we get into the word of the Lord here. We want to look at the definition of that word cumbered. Everybody said cumbered. Cumbered. It means to drag all around. Amen. To distract with care. Amen. Many years ago, I heard when I lived on the farm that there was a dog that was killing chickens. And so they had to break this dog of killing chickens. And so one of the chickens that he killed, they tied it around his neck. And they made it so that he couldn't bite it and tear it off, and they let that chicken hang around that dog's neck, and he had to drag it around with him everywhere he went. And day went into another day, and days went into days, and that chicken started smelling bad, and before you know it, he decided he didn't want to kill chickens anymore. Amen. And you know what, friend? There are some things that we can get wrapped around our neck that will drag us down if we're not careful. Praise the Lord. And it's very, very important that we heed the word of God and that we see the message here that the Lord is trying to give to us. This message here is one of great importance to each and every one of us because it is literally possible for us to be in the presence of the Lord and to miss what the Lord is trying to tell us. It is very, very possible for us to begin to be cumbered in our life with so many things that when the Lord comes and the presence of the Lord is among us and the Lord is speaking His word and the Lord is ministering to us, that we totally, completely miss it because our mind and our life is preoccupied and focused on other things. Can you say amen? Amen. And this is really the message of this here tonight, because this is a danger today. It is really a very, very dangerous thing, probably more so in our generation than many other generations, because of the fast pace and the ability for us to do so many other things. Years ago, they worked on the farm or they worked in the city and they took a bus home. When it got dark on the farm, they went to bed. The day was over and life was much more simple. Today, we are running to and fro as the prophet prophesied, and we are running one into another. And knowledge has increased, and we have come to a place where we are very, very busy with so many, many things. And not only do we have to travel to get things done, we now have the ability to get onto our computer and we can buy things and have them shipped to the house, and we can increase productivity. But with that increased productivity is longer hours, more stress, more things that wear upon your mind. Come on, somebody help me here tonight. You know that I'm preaching the truth here. And so we must be careful that we don't develop a cumbered life, a life that drags around a lot of things, a life that is distracted with the cares of this world. Amen. And yet there is something that we can really get involved in. Praise God, and it'll bless your heart, and it'll bless your life, and it'll bless you for eternity, and that is getting involved in the work of the Lord, and that is getting involved in sitting at the feet of the Master and listening to His word and applying that word to our personal life. Well, praise the Lord. I feel the Holy Ghost here tonight, and I know the Lord is going to speak to our hearts. Let's go to Matthew chapter 13 and verse 22, this is just a little bit of a parable here of the sower that went forth to sow, and not going to necessarily focus altogether on the sower, but we do need to focus on him. Read verse 22, Matthew 13, 22.
He also that received seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful.
All right, so here we have the word of God going forth. The seed is the word of God, and the ground that the seed lands upon is people. This seed landed upon the thorny ground, and it was he that heareth the word. Everybody said, hear the word. All right, but it is not enough to hear the word. I'm going to say that again. It is not enough to hear the word. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. But the Bible says if we're going to build our life upon the rock, upon a solid foundation, we must hear the word and do it. Amen. And so it's not enough just to come and hear. There is a doing of the word that is required. And if we are going to do the word, it's going to take a little bit of effort. And it's going to take a little bit of time. And it's going to take some personal application to the word of God in your life. And so by the very nature of this, we cannot be busy with so many other things that we don't have time to do the word of God. Well, praise the Lord. That's what the Scripture is teaching us here tonight. And there's many, many other places. But this was the Scripture that we just read is the ground that is thorny. And out of the four types of people, there are many, many things that we contend with. This one here is the dangers of a cumbered life. And it is so powerful. It is such a snare. Jesus said in one place that it is the deceitfulness of riches. The cares of this life and the deceitfulness of riches. The deceitfulness of going after riches and reaching out for the only purpose of becoming rich. And it is so powerful that it can get a hold of a man or get a hold of a woman, and they will work hard and spend their entire life for something that will not last very long. They will work many, many hours every day, 6 days, 7 days a week, and apply themselves. And yes, they will be successful. And the snare is, and the lie is, that is what brings happiness. But that's not what brings happiness. Amen. Right. Happiness does not come in the things that we possess. But happiness comes in possessions, as far as material possessions and the things of this world. But the only thing that really brings happiness is when we possess this great salvation. Amen. When we have the Holy Ghost and we're walking with Jesus Christ. Anybody agree with me tonight?
Amen.
Amen. And this is so powerful that a man will work so hard for the things that will be gone and forsake the things that are eternal. I want that to settle in here tonight. We can work so hard for things that are temporary and bypass the things that are eternal. But folks, eternity is coming. Amen. We were at a funeral today. And it reminded us one more time that eternity is coming. And somebody said, well, we're just moving up on the line, and somewhere down the road we're going to be next in line. Amen. And no one knows that day. No one knows that hour. But it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that the judgment. I want God to judge me in his righteousness, and I pray that he will say, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will bless you. Praise the Lord. And so when we get to the place where we work hard for things that are going to pass away, and we neglect the eternal things, it is because we have developed a belief system. Amen. A system of belief, a faith that we have. And ultimately, we buy into the dream that the things of this life are going to make you happy. And then we begin to lay up for the future, like the man that laid up for the future. And he said, soul, I have many things for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Amen. But the Bible says the Lord spoke from heaven and said, thou fool, this night shall thy soul be required of thee. And somebody else is going to take everything that you've worked for, and they're going to eat it and spend it away, and they're not even going to appreciate all of your hard work. Amen. Right. Well, praise the Lord. You can go and look into the history of Egypt. Egypt really represents the world in the Scriptures, and Egypt had a lot of flaws in their beliefs. They believed that there was an afterlife, and there is an afterlife. Amen. But they just had it all mixed up, and they would put boats, and they would put food, and they would put all sorts of tools and things like that in the graves of those kings and of those people. And here we are. Some of those they have found that are several thousand years old. And when they open up the tomb, he's still there, and all that stuff is still there. Well, praise the Lord. And so it is proof that we're not going to take anything with us. It is proof that all that we labor for in this life, and yes, there are things we must labor for, and we must eat and have a home and all of those sorts of things. But I want to preach tonight, friend, that there is a danger of living a cumbered life, of dragging things around, amen, that will hinder you from walking with the Lord and being faithful to God. I believe tonight that if I'm too busy to pray, I'm too busy. And then I have to adjust my schedule so I can find the time to pray and talk to God. Well, that went over like a lead balloon right there. Praise the Lord. But it is still the truth. Amen. If we're too busy to get our Bible out and to sit down and read the Word of God, I want to tell you tonight, we may be living a cumbered life. But it is the will of God that we read the Word of God. And not only that, it's the will of God that we study the Word of God. And we begin to understand for ourselves what the Word of God really, really means. Because joy and peace and victory, amen, victory over this old flesh and victory over this world comes through prayer and through the Word of God. Well, praise the Lord. Getting a few amens now. Maybe before it's over with, I'll get a few more amens. But I'll tell you, friend, it's more than just saying amen. It really comes down to what we do on a daily basis. Because the only thing that's going to last for eternity are the things of God. Amen. The things that are in the kingdom of God are the only things that are going to last forever. And it really comes down to our belief system. Do we believe that serving the Lord is that important? Do we really believe that prayer and Bible reading and Bible study, do we really believe that we should be in the house of God faithfully? Do we believe that we should be involved in the work of God faithfully? Amen. Or is it more important to heap to ourselves things, amen, and forsake the Word of God and the work of God? I'll tell you tonight, friend, God's kingdom is the greatest thing in all of this world. And it goes contrary to the world and the philosophies of the world. Amen. But it is still truth, and it is still the Word and the kingdom of God. Amen. Jesus said in one place, beware of covetousness. I believe that's in Luke 12 and 15. If you'll turn there tonight. Let's look at this, because the word covetousness here is the insatiable desire for wealth. Now, what does the scripture say? That the love of money is the root of all evil. That's what it says. Read for us tonight, Luke 12, 15.
And he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth.
All right. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of the things that he possesses. Oh, God. But there is something that we can possess that will give us a full and a happy life, and that is Jesus Christ and his word. Amen. And people that have this great desire will get caught up in a cumbered life. This cumbered life is led by covetousness. It is the extreme or the insatiable desire for wealth. Amen. Amen. Not only is it a desire for wealth, but it is a desire for pleasure. Amen. It is a desire for entertainment. And folks, we're living in an entertainment crazy world. We're living in a generation. Amen. Where people tonight could be in the house of God, worshiping the Lord. Amen. But they're involved in entertainment in our world. You can drive by the movie houses in the middle of the day, and there are 50, 100 cars sitting out there of people going to be entertained in the middle of the day. Oh, God, help us today that we would get excited about sitting at the feet of Jesus. Amen. Sitting at the feet of the Lord and hearing the word of God is really the most exciting thing in all of this world. Because when God thrills your soul, you can live your life without two nickels to rub together. Amen. And still be a happy individual. Well, praise God. Praise God. And I'll tell you tonight that I would not want to be someone who would be accused of living that kind of a life and literally stealing from God the things that are rightfully His. What are you talking about, Pastor? Well, what I'm talking about is that God gave us everything we have. He's given us everything we have. He's given us our health so that we can go work on a job. He's given us a job. He put us in America. Amen. Those of you that are sitting on the second and first row here tonight, everything you have has been given to you. Amen. And every other row that's here tonight, everything we have has been given to us. God has blessed us. Has God blessed you tonight? God has blessed us. Amen. And then to take the blessings of God and just to heap them upon ourselves. Amen. To heap them upon ourselves. The Bible says, oh God, help us tonight. I feel a preaching spirit here. Amen. The Bible says that their God is their belly and their glory is in their shame, and they mind earthly things. They're not thinking about eternal things. They don't think about worship. They don't think about prayer. They don't think about things of the kingdom of God, but their whole thought process is here in this world. Their whole thought process is how they can satisfy their flesh, how they can do something to make themselves happy. And really, when you look at that scripture, it really is speaking of a generation that is self-absorbed. That's right. Well, praise the Lord. A self-absorbed generation. They would rather have fun than to give to God what is His. Amen. God gave us 24 hours today. Well, praise the Lord. And doesn't the Bible talk about tithing? Amen. That's 2.4 hours. Well, hallelujah. Oh, well, Pastor, I just don't know if I can do that. I'm too busy for that. And then when I'm done being busy, I'm too tired for God and too tired for this and that and the other. But friend, I want to tell you tonight that God has given us everything we have. Amen. And when we take the things that God has given us and we take it for ourselves, Malachi chapter 3, and we don't have to turn there tonight, but it says that we are literally robbing God when we don't give to God what is rightfully His. Right. You can come and darken the door of the church until the rapture day comes. But I want to tell you tonight, friend, oh God, I feel a preaching spirit. I'm not in a bad mood either tonight. But I want to tell you, you're going to split hell wide open if you don't give to God what is His. You'll boil in the flames of eternity and never escape over a few lousy dollars. over a few pieces of pizza, over a few little things that I'm going to use for my enjoyment and my entertainment. Oh, God, help us. I want to tell you, friend, eternity at 10% is a pretty cheap eternity. Amen. I'm telling you what, friend, it's not hard to give to God. Does anybody else feel that way tonight?
Amen.
A few of you do. Praise the Lord. Well, I want to tell you, friends, some of us need to get right with God. Amen. Need to get right with God because we are involved in a cumbered life. You got chains around your neck. Amen. You got a dead chicken around your neck. Amen. Dragging around something. Amen. That's holding you back and hindering you on every turn. I'm telling you, friend, God wants us to be free to serve Him. Oh, hallelujah. He wants us to be free to walk with Him. And the way that we do that is we give to God what is rightfully His. Well, praise the Lord. Luke 6:38. I can see that I'm not getting through here tonight, and I'm going to try one more time, and I'll tell you, I'm going to try till the rapture day. Amen. And so that there will not be an excuse. Luke 6:38.
Give, and it shall be given unto you.
Give. Everybody said give.
Give.
Give. Amen. What do we give? We give of our time, we give of our treasure, we give of our talents.
Right.
That's the whole person. That's all of us. Amen. God is asking us to give. And when we give, what happens? Well, it depends on your attitude, and it depends on your way. It actually depends on your belief system. Some people believe that if they give, they're going to have less than what they had before they gave.
Right. Come on.
Right. I've got $100 this week. Amen. And God bless me with $100 gross on my paycheck. And if I put $10 in there, then all I'm going to have left is $90, right?
Amen.
That's all I'm going to have left. So I'm going to have less. And then the Bible says that we rob God with in tithes and offering. So if we put a few more dollars in for an offering, then we're even down even further. And you know, prices are going up, right? Anybody notice that? The government's telling us there's no inflation. Ha, ha, ha. But they haven't been to the grocery store. They don't even know what a gallon of milk costs. Amen. But we know how much a gallon of milk costs. We know how much it costs this week. Praise the Lord. And the prices aren't going down. They're going up. And so if we give to God, we're going to have less than what we started with. That is the carnal mind. That is the logical reasoning. That is the fleshly way, the worldly way of looking at giving. Amen. But there's another way of looking at giving, and it is through the eye of the Spirit and through God's eyes. Amen. God is a giving God. And now God has a worldwide church that will worship Him and serve Him because He gave, He has received back. He knows the principles. Amen. Of taking the seed and planting it in the ground. And when you plant it in the ground, you end up with more than what you started with. So if you have 100 seeds and you take 10 of those seeds and you put them in the ground and you eat the other 9, I want to tell you, when you put those 10 in the ground and they come up and they blossom and they produce fruit, you're going to have more than 10. And then if you take a tenth of that and put it in the ground and a tenth every year and put it in the ground, can you see how we could feed the world, amen, and still have plenty for us left over? That's the principle, the spiritual principle of giving. Amen. God is not stingy and God is not greedy that he's going to take everything we have, but God is really wanting to bless us. Yes. Give.
Good measure. Press
give,
down.
Give and it what?
And it shall be given unto
shall
you.
Shall be given unto you. Yes. Read.
Good measure.
Good measure.
Pressed down.
Pressed down.
And shaken together.
Yes.
And running over.
Running over. Everybody said running over.
Running over.
Amen. Read.
Shall men give into your bosom.
Yes. Now listen to this.
For with the same measure that ye meet, withal it shall be measured to you again.
Well, praise the Lord. And so if we take 10 seeds out of 100 and we put it back in the ground, then we're going to receive a harvest of 10 seeds that were planted.
Right.
If we put 30 in the ground, we're going to receive a 30 seed revival or harvest, if you please. You see, there are principles that God has put into this world so that we can feed a growing world, amen, and still have plenty left over after everybody has been fed.
Amen.
But except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it dies, it will produce much fruit. And so we have to give. Amen. I really don't have a choice in the matter. If I don't give, I'm going to end up with less. And I have seen it time and time again. People that try to go against God's principles. And I'm going to keep it for myself. And they're always running short. And they always are having a lack. And it is because of covetousness. And God cannot bless covetousness. Amen. But people who give. I have never seen the righteous forsaken. I have never seen his seed begging for bread. God always supplies the needs of those who will give. And the measure that we measure out is the measure that will be measured back to us. Well, praise the Lord. I've seen people in our church here. Is the same thing. And in other churches where I pastored, folks that started giving according to what they wanted to make, and their income started coming up. Amen. And I've seen people that stopped their giving and their income, maybe their income stayed the same, but all of a sudden things came along, a flat tire, a blown engine, amen, or something came along, and all of a sudden all of the extra that they thought they was going to have is gone, and even more. It's called in the Bible. Oh God, are y'all liking this here tonight? Few of you are. Well, praise the Lord. Let's all rejoice together in that. Amen. Somebody's enjoying this. Amen. The Bible calls it the devourer. He said, I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, and he shall not destroy the fruit of your ground. Amen. Thank God when you give to God and when you spend the time to be at the feet of Jesus Christ, he is going to rebuke the devourer for your sake. Amen. And things are going to go well for you. Well, praise God.
Amen.
Praise God. I was talking to a young couple, and I've used this many times, but it really fits. And Jeff and Cheryl came to me. And they said, Pastor, we don't make enough money to pay our tithes and to give an offering. And I said, well, let's look at your finances. And we looked at their finances, and I said, you're right. You don't make enough money to give tithes and to give an offering. You got too many bills. Amen. And your income is not enough to cover the bills. And they said, well, what are we going to do? And I said, give your tithes and your offering to God first and see what the Lord will do. And they trusted their pastor. And so they did. They gave their tithes and their offerings. And about a week or 2 weeks later, they came to me. And Tom, when they came to me, they said, we need to talk to you. And I thought, I'm going to hear this rejoicing. They got a check in the mail or something happened, you know, and all that. And they said, all of my overtime got cut off. We've been given to God. What are we going to do? We're now more in the hole than what we were before we started. And I said, well, give your tithes and your offering to God first, and God will bless you. And they trusted their pastor, and they said, all right. And so they gave. Amen. And it wasn't a week later after that incident that they came to him, and they said, Jeff, we need somebody to come in before we open the shop and clean, and we're going to pay you X amount of money. And he came rejoicing, and he said, Pastor, it's a raise. Amen. And the last time we were out there, they've got, and this is on the East Coast where properties are very expensive. They had a 2 or a 3 acre plot, and they had a home that was worth hundreds of thousands of dollars. Amen. And he's working in an emergency room, and they're blessed, blessed, blessed. And it all started when they came down to a principle. I'm either going to live a cumber-free life, or I am going to be cumbered by the things of this world. Oh, praise God. I'll tell you what, friend, God's word is not mocked. And if we will serve God and do his will, he will bring it to pass. He will bring it to pass. Running over. Amen. God's going to bless. Mark 10:28. I want you to stick with this one here. No, it's another one. I'm sorry. Mark 10:28. It says here, read for us.
Then Peter began to say unto him, Lo, we have left all and have followed thee.
Amen. Now read down a little bit.
And Jesus answered and said, Verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or brethren or sister or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's, but he shall receive an hundredfold now in this time, mm-hmm. houses and brethren and mm-hmm. sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the world to come eternal life. But praise many God. That are first shall be last, and the last first.
Well, praise God. Amen. The first that will be last is the Jews. The last shall be first, which is the Gentiles. Amen. Because they sought it not by faith. But do you catch the meaning of what Jesus is saying there? Amen. No one that has left all. Peter said, Lord, we've left it all. What's in it for us? And that's what we think sometimes. What's in it for me? Amen. And the Lord said, listen, there is no one that has not left houses. Everybody said houses. And brethren. Brethren. And sisterins. Sisterins. Amen. Houses and lands. And all of this for my sake and for the gospel's sake. But he shall receive in this life 100-fold. Oh, praise God. Folks, we got to get a hold of the Word of God. Amen. I got a feeling tonight that some are sitting at the feet of Jesus listening to the Word, and some are in the kitchen right now, rattling the pots and the pans, and worried about sweeping the floor, and worried about what you're going to do tomorrow, and what's going to happen this week. But if you'll just stop what you're doing right now in your mind, and just sit down and say, I got to stop and focus for a little while here, and I've got to listen, and I've got to work this out in my life. Amen. I want to tell you, God will bless you if you'll do that. Because listen, look at the scripture that we read. Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care? And Jesus answered and said, Martha, Martha, and this is in Luke 10 and verse 41. He said, Martha, Martha, thou art. Now, these are the two things that a cumbered life will do to you. Are y'all listening? Are y'all listening? There's two things that a cumbered life is going to do to you. Jesus said, thou art careful. Everybody said careful. That word careful there means anxious or worried. A cumbered life will bring worry into your spirit. And you can't really be effective in serving the Lord when you're worried all the time. Because this carefulness and this worried spirit is really the opposite of faith. It's worried that all things are going to work, that they're going to work out. They're worried that what I've done is going to produce. Worried about this, that, and the other. He said, thou art careful and thou art troubled. Everybody said troubled. Amen. He said, you are troubled. Amen. It means to be disturbed. We get so disturbed in our spirit. Oh God, help us here tonight. Has anybody ever had a short fuse? A short fuse, and the reason you've got a short fuse is because you got a zillion things on your mind, and then somebody comes along and wants to add one more to it, and that's the straw that breaks the camel's back. And you snap and explode, and Mount St. Helens happens all over again. And then you got to fix relationship problems of things that you said or did or whatever, and the Lord knows that I myself and you too have all done this. That's right. You know where it comes from? It comes from a cumbered life. Are you listening tonight? It comes from a cumbered life. A life where we are dragging around a lot of stuff that's not really going to be worth a whole lot when the most important things are right there before us. The most important things that are right before us are our children. The thing that is most important before us is our church and our God. Amen. And all of those relationships that are around us, those are the most important things. It's not so important whether or not we make an extra $5. It's not so important whether or not we get the golden key to the executive bathroom. Amen. It doesn't really matter that much. And these things are important to a degree. But folks, I want to tell you what we must understand is that living a cumbered life where we don't have time to sit at the feet of the Lord and where our mind is clear enough that we can focus on something for a season of time, then we're going to fall into carefulness and trouble. Amen. Disturbed in our spirit and anxious and worried about our life. And it leads to this, because she was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Now, how do you think she said that? Master, my sister hath left me to do all of this work. Would thou pleased speak a word to her that she helped me? I don't think she said it that way. I think she put a hand on a hip and another hand on another hip and she stomped her foot. Lord, don't you even care? I'm the only one in the kitchen. I got all these people to serve. I got all this stuff to do, and then I got to clean up afterwards. And lazy so-and-so is just sitting there Google-eyed and gawking over everything that you say. Would you please tell her to come and help me? That's the way it came out. That's how I perceive this here. And that's exactly how it came out. And the Lord had to calm her down. He said, Martha, 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 just relax a moment. Take it easy. Just stop. All right, put the spoon down. Okay, unloose your apron a little bit. I mean, just wipe the sweat off of your face just for a moment and just relax, all right? Just sit down over here. And now listen, here's the most important thing. When we're done with this meal, guess what? You're going to have to make another meal sometime. And then after that one, you're going to have to make another meal. And after that one, you're going to have to make another meal. And really what he was saying was, Martha, this world has an endless amount of work to be done. It will never stop. As long as there are people on this earth, there will be work taking place. And one generation comes and another generation goes. Amen. If you're a school teacher and you graduate your class, there's another one coming right behind them. And then there'll be another one coming behind them. And before you know it, you'll pass off the scene and another one will come. And it's just a continual work. And so, what are we going to do? We're just going to get caught up in this and get overwhelmed with this and frustrated and anxious and troubled? No. What we got to do is we got to say, I'm stopping. I'm going to stop working. There's a time to stop working. Praise the Lord. God taught us that when he stopped working. He worked for 6 days and he stopped for a day. Well, somebody say amen. He worked for six and he stopped on a day because he knows that we have to stop to focus on worship, on the things of God. Oh, praise the Lord. And that's how we're going to be blessed in our lives. Otherwise, we're going to be guilty of having a cumbered spirit and we will fall into trouble and carefulness that can ultimately destroy us spiritually. Matthew 16 and 24, and I'm not going to read all the verses that I've got written down here. Matthew 16, 24, read for us tonight.
Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me.
Amen. If any man. Now I know what that means. That means a person beside you. And that means the person behind you or in front of you. It doesn't mean you. Praise the Lord. But he said, if any man, he didn't give us any wiggle room there. If any of us are going to follow him, how many of us tonight really want to follow Jesus? How many of you really want to follow the Lord? You really want to do the will of God? You're going to have to deny yourself. And that means you're going to have to lay a few dollars aside and deny yourself. You're going to have to lay some things aside, maybe a hobby that you would like to do this weekend, but you can't because you need to spend time with your kids, or you need to take some time to read your Bible because you haven't done it in a long time. Are you with me here tonight? Comes a time when we have to deny ourselves some of the things of this life, and we must follow Jesus with that cross. Matthew 6:19, and we'll finish with this here. Praise the Lord. Matthew 6:19.
Lay not up for yourself treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal.
Go ahead and read some more.
But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal.
Yes.
For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also.
Where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. Is your heart in the house of God? Is your heart in the Word of God? Is your heart in God? If it is, that's where you're going to find yourself frequenting those places. Because where your treasure is, the thing that you treasure the most, amen, that's where your heart is. Unfortunately, we're living in a generation today that treasures themselves more than anything else. But here's the key to happiness. Go down to verse 33. Read verse 33 and 34. Amen.
But seek ye first the kingdom of God.
Mm-hmm.
And his righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto you.
All these things shall be added unto you. Take no thought, therefore, for the morrow or for tomorrow, for tomorrow will take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Right. Amen. And when we get to the place where we are sufficient within ourselves, we risk the danger of pride destroying us. Amen. And it is not worth it.
Right.
It is not worth it. I have never seen anyone that has followed the world that is ultimately blessed. Because, friend, the only way to be blessed is to serve Jesus Christ. Can we stand together tonight? Praise the Lord. There's only one way to find happiness, and that is to get the priority of life in order. In order. And there is an order to things. There is an order that works and a disorder that does not work. And in the world, there is a lot of disorder, and it's not working. It works a little bit, but it doesn't work well. It's almost like a car that's filled with half water and half gasoline. It may run, but it just doesn't run very well. Or a car that's in order and it has just gasoline in the tank and it runs well. The difference can be great. Amen. And the priority of life is to serve God. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, to do what's right, to seek the Lord and to seek what is right. He said, all of these things, the clothes, the house, the job, the money, all of the things that we need and all the things that we desire. And God wants to give us our heart's desire. He really does. But He wants to know if He's number one. Amen. Is Jesus number one in your life? Is the Lord number one in your life? Praise God. Father, I thank You for the word tonight. Thank You for Your presence that I feel in this place. Let it get down to the marrow and to the joints. Let it get way down deep inside of our lives, God, and help us, touch us today. In Jesus' name. And I pray for anyone tonight that would be living a cumbered life, a life that doesn't have time for God, a life that doesn't have time for the spiritual things of God. I'm praying tonight, God, that You will open our eyes and help us to see. Help us to see Your will. Help us to see Your purpose. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Can we give the Lord thanks tonight? Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Let's sing a chorus together.